Scripture reading will be from 2 Kings 23, verses 24 and 25. Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers in the house of gods, and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him.
Good evening. If I could ask a favor in your prayers, that you will remember our Molly and her group that she's traveling with. We put her on a, I almost said a boat, it wasn't a boat, a van this afternoon, and she's on a plane now, I think wheels up over the Atlantic someplace for a month. They'll be in Europe and different places of study abroad thing through OVU, and so this is her first big trip and long time away from home like this, and so we're thinking of her. If you'll pray for that group and that they'll have safe travel and have a great time, really appreciate it. One of the things about Bible study that I love and that keeps me going back to it time and again is finding something new. And finding something that I hadn't noticed before, maybe that I'd read before but hadn't paid attention to, or something, frankly, that I'm not 100% sure what to think about it when I read it. And I would say to you, you know, don't trust anybody who says they never had that experience when they study the Bible, because either they are lying to you or they don't know enough to begin with to be worth listening to. I mean, if anybody claims that they never find anything new or have a question, it's really the case with the story I want us to look at tonight, a bit of a character study, I guess you'd say, of a man named Josiah, a lot of times called Good King Josiah. And probably you know of him, and you may know quite a lot about him. I've always been fascinated with the story of Josiah and what he did. I've studied it, read it, and reflected on it, and taught and preached on it several times through the years. But I was recently reading a verse in this story about Josiah that threw me a loop for a minute as I got what it was saying, and I thought it was worth sharing with you tonight in the course of this study. So Josiah's story is told in 2 Kings chapters 22 and 23. We're going to quote several verses from those chapters in the course of our study tonight, but that's where his story is told. But in another sense, his story starts about 300 years before that, in 1 Kings chapter 13. So we learn mostly about him in 2 Kings 22 and 23, but we first hear of Josiah in 1 Kings chapter 13. Why do I say that? Because Josiah, 3 centuries before he's born, is prophesied about. By name, he's mentioned by an unnamed prophet from Judah who comes up to the northern kingdom of Israel and speaks to King Jeroboam, the first king of the north. A man out of Judah comes and prophesies to Jeroboam. Now, Jeroboam was one of the bad ones. In fact, most of them were bad ones. And Jeroboam was certainly that. But he's the first king, again, of Israel, the northern kingdom, after the division in the kingdoms. And he leads Israel to worship other gods and all kinds of sins that he leads them in, such that later, when later kings are evaluated, if they weren't a good one, and again, most of them weren't, it will say something like, he walked in the sins of Jeroboam. Well, 1 Kings 13 begins with these words. It says, "And behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam, the king, was standing by the altar to make offerings. And the man cried against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, 'O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and he shall sacrifice on you the priests of the high places who make offerings on you, and human bones shall be burned on you.'" That's, again, 300 years before Josiah's birth. And you think about what we'll say about Josiah tonight, this good king. He had a lot of impressive religious reforms that he instituted. Here he is, three centuries previous mentioned. Imagine if 70 years before the founding of our country, to put it in a similar time frame, imagine if someone had mentioned your name and all the great things you were going to do. That's what happens with Josiah. Now, we know pretty specifically the years that Josiah lived. Josiah lives from 640 to 609 BC. He's born in the line of King David, so he descends from David. But how he becomes a king is something that deserves a little explaining to understand his biography. As I mentioned before, most of the kings are awful, miserable, unfaithful, and God had said they'd be that way, in fact. And then remember the prophet Samuel, who anointed the first king, Saul. He had said, "You're going to be sorry you asked for a king." So down through the history of all the kings, very, very few demonstrated any faithfulness at all to God. So let's think for a minute before we talk about Josiah of his immediate predecessors on the throne of Judah, the southern kingdom. Go back to his great-grandfather, Hezekiah. You probably heard the name Hezekiah. Hezekiah's a pretty good king. We have several stories about him in 2 Kings chapters 18, 19, and 20. Pretty decent king. Not perfect, but in comparison to what most of them were like, very good. And he reigns about 30 years in Judah. By this time, again, there's no northern kingdom of Israel. It's been wiped out, destroyed by the Assyrians. Only Judah remains. So you have this small kingdom in the south. And then Hezekiah has a son who comes to the throne. His name is Manasseh. Manasseh is awful. He's one of the worst in either kingdom. And his influence is compounded by the fact that he rules Judah for 55 years. He's one of the worst kings ever, and he rules one of the longest reigns ever, 55 years. And all that time, he's leading the people of God away from God. He's leading them away from the covenant that God had made with them and into all kinds of idolatry and depravity, frankly. It is not a good chapter in the history of Judah. Manasseh finally dies. His son comes to the throne. His name is Amon. Amon is just like his dad, maybe worse. We really don't know because he's only on the throne for 2 years. He's assassinated after just 2 years. That leads us to a very young boy being brought to the throne of Judah, the next in line of succession, a man we want to talk about tonight, Josiah. If you think about this person's heritage for a moment, he has never, ever seen a faithful king in his lifetime. He's only 8 years old to begin with when he's anointed the next king. That's the first verse of 2 Kings 22. He comes to the throne at 8 years old. He's going to reign for 31 years. But he's never seen what it means to be faithful to God, especially as king. There's a very important verse, 2 Kings 22, verse 2, for our thoughts tonight. It says this of Josiah, "And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right or to the left." Sort of a summary verse of his reign. And that's important for a couple of reasons. First, Josiah is linked to David, who we usually think of as the ideal king. David is called his father. Of course, if we were writing it, if we were telling the story, we would say that David was his great-great-great-great-great-great-great grandfather. But he's called father of Josiah here. But, you know, what's important is that Josiah was like David. All these generations, he was more like David than he was like his father and his grandfather. Pretty incredible that that happens, if you think about it. How did that happen, that Josiah turns out so good? It's one of the mysteries of the Bible, I believe. We don't have a great explanation for how that happens. But also from that verse, don't miss the description where it says, Josiah did not turn aside to the left or to the right. That's important. That is code language, covenant faithfulness code language. And it really ties good King Josiah to Moses. So not only is he of David, but he's really linked with Moses, because you go back when Moses gives the Ten Commandments, right after he gives the Ten Commandments, he says to the children of Israel, "You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." And then that's not said of very many people after that, you see, because they often turned aside to the right hand or to the left. That quote's from Deuteronomy chapter 5. Especially the kings. They were great turn-asiders and really good at leading people astray. And if you think of Josiah's father and grandfather, they did that for nearly 60 years. But Josiah somehow never does. And it just reminds us how special he was. I haven't even got to the verse that piqued my interest, got my attention, that I referred to there at the beginning tonight. But we've already learned quite a bit, hopefully, about Josiah. But let's learn a little bit more. Again, he's 8 years old when he comes to the throne. So we think about that second grade, right? You got a second grader suddenly becoming king. And then the story tells us that when he is 26, so he becomes king at 26, 18 years later, this is mentioned in the third verse, 2 Kings 22, something really important takes place. Josiah has instituted some projects. One of them is to clean the temple out. Apparently it had fallen into disrepair, and he commissioned people to go clean out the temple in Jerusalem. And while that's being done, lo and behold, they find a copy of the Bible. Here you are in the kingdom of Judah, the people of God, and they've lost the Bible. They discover the Bible as they're cleaning the temple out, a copy of the law. And we wonder, how long had they been without it? We don't know the answer to that, but it could have been 60, 70 years. The Word of God has been lost. in Judah. Ask yourself this, what state would we be in as believers in God if for 60 years we didn't read the Bible, ever? Didn't read the Bible, didn't hear it proclaimed, anything. We hear it all the time. But imagine we go more than a generation never being heard, never being read. That very thing happens in the days of the kings. And we find out, for instance, that they hadn't celebrated the Passover. I mean, how would they know to do that? They hadn't read the Bible. They hadn't celebrated the Passover. And for them, you know, the Passover for them was like the Lord's Supper, I guess, is for us. It's that thing where you commemorate the salvation that God has brought. Passover for them was remembering God rescuing them from Egyptian slavery. And saving them from the Egyptians. It seems like they hadn't celebrated Passover, which was supposed to be done every year. They hadn't celebrated it for as much as 400 or 500 years. Since the time of the judges. That includes all the kings. David, even. Apparently during his reign, they didn't celebrate Passover. It's amazing. But when this guy, Josiah, when he reads the book, when he reads the law, and he sees all the things that they've been doing wrong, and he sees several good things that they haven't been doing, he mourns. He rips his clothes. He mourns before God. He calls the people and reads the law to them. After it's read to him, and he says basically to the people, things are going to change. This can't go on. And that's part of the reason that Josiah is the greatest reformer in the history of the kings. He sets out with great vigor to cleanse the land of idols, to remove false teaching and false teachers from influencing the people, to lead the people back to God and to faithfulness in God. That's what most of these two chapters in 2 Kings is about, 2 Kings 22 and 23. All of good King Josiah's reforms. And he is thorough in what he does. He's more thorough than any other king ever was. And he is serious. And in some ways, in his reforms, he's deadly as he carries them out. But you see, you know, Judah was on its way to destruction because they had so enraged God. They had been so unfaithful. And Josiah, in his work, does everything he can to try in time to turn God's wrath away from the people. He sees it coming. It's really an amazing story. Listen to a few of the words he spoke. Chapter 23, 2 Kings, verse 21. It says there, "And the king Josiah commanded all the people, 'Keep the Passover to the Lord your God as it is written in the book of the covenant.'" See, things are going to change. We've read the word of God. We're going to start doing what it says. It goes on, "For no such Passover had been kept since the days of the judges who ruled Israel, or during all the days of the kings of Israel, or of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was kept to the Lord in Jerusalem." Now we're talking about, again, 400 or 500 years since they had done the very basic thing, worshiping God, celebrating Passover. Josiah really made a difference. And then the Bible goes on in the next few verses that were read to us in our scripture reading tonight, verses 24 and 25. And here really is the passage that grabbed my attention. And made me want to share this with you tonight. The Bible says there again, "Moreover, Josiah put away the mediums and the necromancers and the household gods and the idols and all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, that he might establish the words of the law that were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord." Then here's the passage. Verse 25, "Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him." When I read that verse, I did a double take. That verse especially grabbed my attention for a couple of reasons. Again, you had this language, this, I call it covenant faithfulness code language. When it speaks of what Josiah did, how did it say that Josiah turned to the Lord? It says, with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Now, you've heard those words before. You know that scripture from the law. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God." How? "With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. The great text of the Old Testament, sort of their John 3:16. But that's said of Josiah. That's how he turned to God. You remember that one time Jesus is asked, "What's the greatest commandment? What's the greatest commandment in all the law?" And he quotes that verse. But before Jesus ever quoted it, Josiah had lived it out in the days when he was king. He didn't turn aside from it, and he loved God with his all. Every fiber, apparently, of his being was devoted to godliness. And that's great. That is really remarkable among the kings, but still not what struck me. What struck me was this, verse 25. "Before him there was no king like him, who turned to the Lord with all his heart, soul, and might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him." So you take that middle part out, and you have this: there was no king like him before him, there was no king like him after him. Josiah was the greatest king of God's people, greatest king of Judah. Now, I've always heard it said, and I'm sure I've said it myself, that David was the greatest king. David was the ideal king. And David's really important in God's plan, and he is great. You know, Jesus will be called Son of David, not Son of Josiah. So David is really important. And we know that David was called a man after God's own heart. But Josiah, no one before him or after him of the earthly kings of God's people was greater or even as good as King Josiah. For all the reasons and traits that we noticed tonight, Josiah was uniquely faithful to God. One other little tidbit about him: his name. His name and its meaning. Josiah, his name is basically equivalent with Jesus's. There's several Old Testament names that are basically the same as Jesus. Jesus' name means salvation. So does Josiah's. Josiah had a lot in common with the Lord. And the greatest of that was just faithfulness and devotion to God. It's what made Josiah a king like no other mere mortal ever was. Now, Jesus, of course, was greater than Josiah, but he was more than just a mortal king. Jesus was indeed mortal, but he was God. He was God King, and he brought full salvation. But Josiah was great. You know, as great as he was, what's sad is his descendants on the throne after him were an abject disaster. And Josiah is the last good thing that happens among the leaders of God's people in Judah. And Judah very soon is going to reap the whirlwind of God's wrath that they had been causing for all their, you know, due to all their unfaithfulness. And despite this amazing 31-year interlude of faithfulness led by Josiah, Judah is going to suffer the ultimate penalty from God. They're going to lose their nation. They're going to lose the temple, lose their freedom, be carried away into captivity. Well, as I think about Josiah and reflect on him, I hope that we can be reminded of a couple of things. Obviously, the importance of faithfulness to God and how outstanding faithfulness is, and the greatness of taking a stand for what's right in your time. Even if everyone else all around us has left God, has left truth, to take a stand when we know what's right. That's an example we have from Josiah that's powerful. And also the fact that it is possible, never having grown up learning the Bible, never having seen a good example or anything like that, never having read the Bible or have any influence toward spiritual faithfulness to God, it is possible to turn out all right. It is possible to discover God and His Word and read it and understand it and live it out in a way that pleases God and influences others. If it could happen in Josiah's life, it could happen in anybody's, because he had nothing in his background to point him toward loyalty toward God. It's an amazing story of faithfulness and learning the truth and obeying it and leading others to do so. I just wanted tonight for us to remember this incredible man who for a brief time led God's people back to him, Josiah, and what we can learn from him. Thank you for listening for a few minutes this evening. As we close, we'll sing a song in a moment, and this is a time of invitation. If there's someone here who has spiritual need that needs to come before the church, maybe asking for prayer or something else, maybe somebody is ready to recommit their life to the Lord or to, for the first time, commit their life to Him, to start your walk of faithfulness, to be baptized into Christ. You're invited to all those things tonight. Not just tonight, but any night. But here we have a convenient time. If we can help you in some way toward that, let us know while we stand and sing.